Welcome to this message from Shofar Christian Church. May you experience God's grace as you listen to this word being preached.
God moves. I mean, God moves by our expectation. God doesn't just move upon us. He wants us to really invite Him in. Amen. So God is a gentleman. Sometimes we come, we think, oh, God is just going to move, and we're so casual. But let's be excited. Let's have an expectation to meet with God. Amen. So this morning, I just want to share a short message, which I believe God wants to share with us. I believe it's for our church, but I believe it can be for you as an individual as well. Amen. It's from the book of Zechariah. But I wanna just share quickly the introduction to my Bible, yeah, or the yeah, it's sort of an outline of the book of Zechariah. Zechariah speaks to the people of Israel, and it says here in my Bible the following. It says, for a dozen years or more, the task of rebuilding the temple has been half completed. Zechariah is commissioned by God to encourage the people in their unfinished responsibility. Rather than exhorting them to action with strong words of rebuke like many of the other prophets did, Zechariah seeks to encourage them to action by reminding them of the future importance of the temple. The temple must be built, for one day the Messiah's glory will inhabit it, but future blessing is contingent upon present obedience. The people are not merely building a building, they are building a future. With that as their motivation, they can enter into the building project with wholehearted zeal. Why? Because their Messiah is coming. Doesn't that sound very familiar? Doesn't that sound similar to the time that we're living in? We're being called by God to rebuild the temple. And that is people. Amen. People have been destroyed by the devil and by sin. All of us, each one of us have been there. We were destroyed, we were caught up in sin, we were unsaved and lost, but now we're saved. Amen. But there's so many people out there that still need to be saved, that still need to be transformed, that still need to be rebuilt. That God is not calling us to build a physical temple. He's not calling us to build a physical church. He's calling us to build people, to make disciples. Amen. And guess what, friends? The work is unfinished. The work is unfinished. It's not. We can't relax and say, oh, you know, Jesus is coming tomorrow. We don't know when Jesus is coming, and we don't know who's going to miss out when Jesus comes again. And so with this as a background, this is the reason Zechariah spoke to the people of God, and God spoke to Zechariah and said, speak the following. And yeah, in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11 to 12, it says the following. And the title of my message this morning is called The God Who Restores Double. Isn't that exciting? The God Who Restores Double. We don't only serve a God who restores, we serve a God who doesn't only just restore, He restores double back to us. Now the word restore is actually quite amazing, because I looked at the dictionary and it's defined as follows. There's four subheadings under the definition of to restore out of the Oxford Dictionary. The first one says the following: to bring back or re-establish a previous right, practice, or situation. To bring back or re-establish a previous right, practice, or situation. To return, the second one says, to return someone or something to a former condition, place, or position. The third one says, to repair or renovate a building or work of art so as to return it to its original condition. And then the last one, to give something stolen, taken away, or lost back to the original owner or recipient. A powerful word, the word restore. And at the moment, we are in the privileged position. God has blessed us with a house that we are busy restoring right next door to our house. And so we saw this house next door to us just falling apart, and the grass was growing, the weeds were growing. It was looking terrible. And the Lord just gave us this vision of restoring this place and finding the owner and asking if he doesn't want to sell, because we want to buy this place, we want to restore it, we want to put students in there, give students a lekker place to stay. We can put 6 students in that house. So we are super excited to build a community house, a house of discipleship, a discipleship house right next door to our house in Fiat Crescent. And it's such a blessing already this week. We see how the garden is being transformed, because we gave someone a job in the process as well. What a blessing. You know, the Lord does things exponentially and just amazing. And so we've given a guy a job, and he's just transformed this garden already. It just looks so much better. And we're so excited to see how this house can be taken from a place of being broken down, looks like it's falling apart. It almost looks like you just want to break the thing down completely and start again. But we want to restore it. We want to see how God can restore this place to something beautiful, something amazing. And I also had the privilege a couple of years ago. I've got this old tractor on our farm in the Karoo, where it's a 1949 John Deere Model A. It's one of those with this small thin wheels at the front. They're close together, and like the big row crop wheels at the back, and it looks like it was falling apart. And we painted it and we restored it to a place where it looks better than it did even when it was bought. And so to see how restoration is such a beautiful thing, amen. Wouldn't you agree? And God does the same thing. God doesn't restore physical things. God, well, he does, but he's into the restoration of our lives. Amen. And so I want to encourage us this morning that we worship a God who restores, a living God. You know, a dead God cannot restore anything. Amen. But a living God can restore back to a place where there's abundance of life. And it says here in Zechariah 9, he says, speaks to the people, or God speaks to the people through Zechariah and says the following, as for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. And then in verse 12, he says, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. Our God, in Joel chapter 2, verse 25, says the same thing. He says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the swarming locusts have eaten. And God is into restoration. And this morning, I want to say to us that this is an everlasting promise. God is promising stuff to us as his people. I mean, he wants to restore back the years that the locusts have eaten. He wants to restore back to us double. And I'll show you now what he actually means there and why he says, I want to restore to you double. But God, when he promises something, he does it. Isn't that so? We've heard it already in the testimonies. God is faithful. Tell someone next to you, God is faithful. And God will restore and God will fulfill his promises in your life. Do you believe that this morning? God will restore to you the promises that he has given to you. And I thank you, Boots, for that testimony. Where's Boots now? There at the back. Thank you for just encouraging us to pursue God in what he's told us. Because God has spoken to each one of you something. And I believe he's going to restore back to you that which maybe has been stolen. The promises that were stolen. You know, the promise isn't stolen, but the implementation or the outflow of those promises might have been stolen from you. The promise still stands. God is faithful. And here he's saying to us as a church, I believe, he's saying to believers throughout the world, he will restore to us double fold. But there's a condition to this promise. God always has conditions to his promises. Amen. Tell someone next to you, God has got conditions. And so there's two conditions here, which I just want to hold before us this morning. The first condition is the following. We need to return to the stronghold. We need to come back to God. Amen. We need to repent and return to the stronghold. And it's not about the repentance and the returning as much as it is about the stronghold. Amen. It's not as much as about, because sometimes we preach repent, and it's good. Repentance is so important. But it's not about the repentance and the returning. It's about who are you repenting towards, or who are you returning to. And then the Bible says here that God is a stronghold. In Psalm 18 verse 2, you know what a stronghold is? A stronghold is something amazing. A stronghold was built in the olden days when they had wars and they had times of warfare and all of that. They would build these massive fortresses, these strongholds on top of mountains where it looked intimidating, right? It looked amazing. It looked like, yes, I want to be in this place. And in Psalm 18 verse 2, it says the following. It says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. He is my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And I underlined it in my sermon here, because there's so many things. Who is God to you? And why must we return and repent and come back to him? Why? Because number one, he's our rock. Is God your rock this morning? Is God your deliverer and your fortress? A fortress is something that they built where it was high, first of all. In other words, it was almost like, you know, easy to see from that fortress. God is this higher thing. God is amazing. He's so much higher than ours, than our ways, and his ways are higher. So when we come to him, we can see him, and we can come into him and see from a different angle. When you enter into a fortress, it's like this place, normally a high place, where you can see differently from. So God is not only our rock, he's our stability, he's our fortress, he's our deliverer. Now, a fortress isn't only high, but it's also secure. In other words, it's a place of refuge. It's a place where we can feel protected by, a place where we can feel safe in. Amen. And God is that place for us. God is our fortress, he's our strength and our security. A fortress isn't only secure and high, but it's also actually intimidating to the enemy, don't you think? God is actually intimidating to our enemies. Isn't that good news this morning? When you're found in God, when you're in that place of the fortress and the high place in God himself, you are intimidating to the enemies of your soul. And that's why it's important to come back to God, because God said he wants to be our rock, he wants to be our fortress, he wants to be our deliverer, he wants to be our strength. And then he goes on, he says he wants to be our shield. Shield also talks about protection. He wants to be the horn of our salvation, he wants to save us. And he ultimately, in all this, he wants to be our stronghold. Proverbs 18 verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they are saved. They are saved and they are saved. So I want to say the first thing, that if we want to have God bless us, if we want to have God come and restore things in our lives, then number one, we need to return to him. Amen. And this is a cry out to everyone, but this is a cry out to believers in this time and age we're living in, to come back to God. Right at the moment, there's a 10 days of prayer and fasting going on that many leaders throughout the nation have called for, because of a cry that went out from America to say that September the 26th must be this day of returning to God. It's called The Return. Anyone heard of that? Well, it's called The Return. Now, America, the American believers are excited about it, South African believers as well. I sent it on the Prayer Warriors group. So next Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock to 4:30, there's an online prayer meeting where people can just pray together and cry out to God and do exactly this, repent and return to God, and cry out for believers to return and unbelievers to return to the God of their salvation. So if we want God to bless us, we need to repent and return to the stronghold. Amen. So is God the stronghold in your life? Is God the fortress in your life? Is God the refuge that you can run to and experience incredible abundance of life? I don't know about you, but if I hear a God like that, then I want to go back to him. I want to say, God, I'm sorry for trying in my own strength to do all this stuff. Lord, I'm sorry for being my own rock and my own fortress and my own deliverer. Lord, for trusting in my own strength, for being my own shield and being the horn of my salvation. You know, that's the I, me, and myself. All about me and all about stuff in this world and trusting in everything else but God. But God is saying, return to me, because I am a strong tower. The second thing that the Bible says clearly, and the second condition that we need to obey, is that of remaining prisoners of hope. He says, return to me, or return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. He doesn't say, I'm going to set you free from hope, because I don't want to be set free from hope. I want to remain a prisoner of hope. I want to remain captive in the hope of God. Amen. Hebrews 6 says the following, says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. You can read that whole chapter in Hebrews chapter 6. But he says here, he says, God is because he's a God who's made covenant with himself by two immutable things, the promise and the oath. God made a covenant with himself. Guess what? This promise and this oath will never fail. If God had made a promise with us as people, it would have failed, because us as people, we failed God. That's why God eventually had to make a promise with himself and said, I am not going to go back on my covenant. And that's why it says in Zechariah, right at the beginning, it says, you are a blood covenant people. I've made a covenant with myself, and ultimately my son Jesus Christ has become the ultimate covenant. Because of God's covenant, it is impossible for him to lie. Guess what? We can have hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. The hope that is set before us, we have as an anchor of the soul, he says, both sure and steadfast. Say, sure and steadfast.
Sure and steadfast.
That hope that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the hope that we have in Jesus himself, the hope that we have that he's coming back, that he has come, but that he's coming back again, is sure and steadfast. Can I have an amen? And it enters the presence behind the veil. It's him himself, the high priest Jesus. You see, so I want to say this morning, how do we remain captive in hope? Number one, we look at what God has said and done in the past. We look at the past testimonies. Guess what? There's so many testimonies in this Bible. Amen. Read the Bible. Read the Old Testament. Read how God delivered Jehoshaphat when the enemies were confused. Just one example. Read of how God delivered Moses through the Red Sea, or delivered the Israelites by opening the Red Sea through Moses. Read the stories of the Old Testament. Read of testimonies of the past and have that hope that God is going to do it again. Amen. Angus Buchan said it a while ago, God, do it again. God, pour out your Spirit again. Pour out the wind. Bring the wind of the Holy Spirit. Physically, do it again, Lord. Do it again in my life. Matthew the other day asked me, like, why don't we see so many miracles like we did in the Bible? Like, how do you answer that? You know, well, why don't we see the Red Sea? Like, why don't we see water being parted like we did in the Bible? Why don't we see it today? I'm like, how do you answer that? You know? But the only answer I can think of is there's just unbelief. We live in a world where there's just little faith. It's just not enough faith, it seems, to believe in God. But God is faithful, guys. God will do it again. God has said it and He has done it, and His promises will remain. So that's the first thing. To remain anchored and captive in hope, you need to look back at the past. Look at the past testimonies. Read the Word of God. Look at your own life. See how God has saved you, how God has come through for you many times. Then the second one is, look at what God is busy doing now. So thanks, Boots, for your testimony. Thank you for Talita and them for sharing their testimonies. And thank you for all of you guys that have testimonies. Let's share them. What is God doing now in your life? This week we were at a baptism. Martel and Hardis baptized a guy in the Connect group, Christian. So amazing to witness what God is doing. Amen. I when I hear about a baptism, I'm there. You know, I love to be. We had to walk 15 minutes to get to Sierra Dam. So thanks for giving us some extra exercise. The King Walls need some extra exercise, you know. So we walked all the way from that gate there into Sierra Dama, and it was amazing to just walk with our family and to witness this guy getting baptized. His family was there, and just the joy of new life. Amen. But we must not only look at what God has done, because sometimes it's so far in the past, we think, oh, this Bible's written 2,000 years ago, or almost 2,000 years ago, so, you know, it's not really for today. No, it is for today. Look at the people around you. Look at what God is doing in His people's lives. Amen. Look at what God is doing in our church. Can I have an amen? I'm excited. I sense God's Spirit is moving. So look at what God is busy doing. And then the third thing is look forward to what God has promised and what He will do. Guess what? He will come back and save us completely. Amen. That we can be assured of. God is going to save us completely from all our sin. He's going to remove us our sin as far as the east is from the west. Finally, we're never going to have sin again. Isn't that amazing to think of the joy of the hope that is to come, that Jesus Christ, and we're going to see Him for who He really is, face to face. I can't wait to see Jesus face to face. Because for now we see in a mirror dimly, the Bible says, but then we will see Him face to face. So we can have hope, friends, not only for what God has done and what God is doing, but we can have hope for the future. We can have hope because of what God will do, because He's promised that He will do it. So remain captive in the hope that is an anchor of your soul. It's sure and steadfast. I want to encourage you this morning, don't lose your hope. Tell someone next to you, don't lose your hope. And remain captive in that place where you are captive because of His hope, the hope that is in you. And then lastly, He says, because if you return to Me and return to the stronghold that I am in your life, and you remain a prisoner of hope, you remain captive by what I'm going to still do and what I have done, then He says the following. He says, I will restore double to you. Even today I declare that I'm going to restore double to your life. I want you to, this morning, expect a double portion. Today and in this next while. Amen. Expect a double blessing. And even today you can expect a double portion of God's Spirit and His blessing and His portion on your life. Isaiah 61 says the following, where the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord has come upon me. Prophesying about what was to come, that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon Jesus, but ultimately the Spirit of the Lord would also come upon all believers. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, He says. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities. The desolations of many generations. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy will be theirs. That is a promise, friends, that you can hold on to. A promise that God is faithful to bless us not only with a single blessing, but a double blessing. He's not only going to restore back that which was taken from you, He's going to actually give you even more. You see, I believe this double portion has many, many interpretations, connotations, but I believe one of the double portions that God wants us to realize He's already given us is that of mercy and grace. You know what mercy is? Mercy is where you didn't deserve something, or you didn't get something that you actually deserve. God gave us mercy. He should have sent us to hell. He should have sent us to eternal damnation, but He didn't. He saved us. Gave us a second chance. That's mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. But then there's this double blessing of grace upon our lives. Grace is that we actually get what we don't even deserve. We don't get to be partners with Him. We don't get to be co-laborers with Him. It's absolutely His grace. Would you agree with that? There's mercy and there's grace. It's a double blessing. You see, God calls us His children. Number one, He saves us. Through His Son, Jesus Christ on the cross, He saves us. That's amazing in itself. That's like awesome. But then guess what the second part of it is? He actually fills us with His Spirit. He empowers us and He calls us His co-laborers. He calls us His co-heirs. He says, I'm going to invite you to partner with Me in the cause of My kingdom. That is such a privilege, friends. That is a massive blessing. It's a double portion. That He doesn't only save us and we're going to heaven. And that's that almost that two-pronged experience that you have with the Lord many times. Some people get it all at once. But for me, it was like I received my salvation. I was saved in 1992. When I gave my life to the Lord on the 15th of March, 1992, I gave my life to Jesus and said, Jesus, I need You to be my Savior. And Jesus is not only our Savior, but that's amazing, and that's the start of it. He saved me, and then the second thing He did to me was in 2001, He filled me with His Holy Spirit. And He said, I want you to be a co-laborer with Me. I want you to be a fruit for My kingdom. I got baptized in water on the 13th of October, I think it was 2001. Got baptized in water, got filled with the Holy Spirit around that time, and God said to me, He said, you will bear fruit for My kingdom. It didn't happen when I got saved, because I didn't know that. I had to wait 9 years for the first blessing, or the double blessing to really come. The first blessing happened and I got saved, and I got, you know, saved from myself and my own sin. But then 9 years later I got filled with the Holy Spirit, this double portion. That I wished I had it earlier. I wished I could have testified at school, but I couldn't speak to one person about Jesus when I was at school, even though I knew I was a believer. God has called us, friends, not only to be His children. He doesn't only save us. He's also Lord of our lives. He calls us to be empowered by His Spirit, to be His co-laborers, to be His witnesses. And that's a privilege. It's not something we have to do. It's a joy to walk in the fullness of God. It's a joy to walk in that double blessing. I'm going to restore to you that double blessing. Elijah and Elisha, listen to what Elisha cries out, and he says to his spiritual father Elijah, he said, Elijah, please give me that double blessing. And so it was when that crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you? And Elisha said the following, please let the double portion of your Spirit be upon me. And Elisha experienced what God wants us as His co-heirs and as his spiritual sons to experience. Amen. God wants to pour out His double blessing upon us. He wants to fill us with His Spirit. He wants to empower us to do what we've been called to do in His kingdom. And I want to say this morning that God's ultimate plan of restoration is that of His image inside of us. God's ultimate plan is to grow us up into His image and have the restoration of the image of God in mankind, where it was lost. When Adam and Eve sinned, that image was lost. The veil came upon us, our eyes were closed, and there was just sin that was abounding, and Jesus Christ could be the only one to save us. Romans 8 verse 29 talks about this whole predestination, that our predestination is to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the double blessing that is upon our lives, where God fills us with His Spirit, and He ultimately makes us into the image of Jesus Christ. And the restoration of His image in us. And our theme for this year is grow. And we didn't have it put up this morning here. But that whole thing of grow, I want to encourage us. Ephesians 4:15 says that our ultimate purpose is to grow up into Him who is the head, Christ Jesus. That's why we want people to grow. We want them to gather. We want them to relate. We want them to obey. And we want them to witness. That's growing up into Jesus Christ. To be like Him. To come to Him. To love other people. To obey His Spirit. And then to witness to the world. So it's gather to Christ, relate to people, obey the Spirit, witness to the world. That's the grow process of a disciple. Where someone comes to Jesus first, then they start to realize they need the body, they need other people, they start to love one another and love people, and then obey the Spirit. You get filled with the Holy Spirit, you hear God and you obey Him, and ultimately His call for us is to go and witness to the world. But our ultimate purpose, guys, is to grow up into Christ Jesus. And when we do that, we'll experience the blessing upon blessing upon blessing of our lives. The ultimate thing that we're living for is to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. It's not about us. And sometimes we can just want a double blessing. We can say, oh God, just bless me, bless me, bless me. And it's all about me. God is saying, no, it's actually all about me. I want you to reflect me. Because it's not about you reflecting yourself. It's not about you reflecting something that is great in your life. It's you reflecting my image in your life. That's the double portion that I believe God wants to bless us with. That our church would be a church reflecting the image of God to the world. That you in your personal life would reflect the image of God to this world. And ultimately reflect it back to Him and worship Him. And that's why we worship. Worship isn't about a song. We always say it. Worship is about reflecting God back to Him. Having this glorious presence of God in our midst and saying, God, thank you. It's all about you. It's all for you. So I want us to close our eyes this morning and just recommit our lives again and say, Lord, I want this double blessing in my life. I want you to restore in my life just that image that has been lost. I want to return to you, God. You will do the restoration. I want to encourage all of us this morning that our job is to repent and to return. Our job is to hold on to hope. Amen. God will do this. He says, I declare to you today that I will bless you. Amen. I declare to you today, I will bless you. I will restore. I will do this double blessing thing. It's not us. Don't pursue the double blessing. So isn't that a bit freeing today? Because sometimes, and I've seen it in my own life, we try to pursue the double portion. Like we strive for the double blessing. We try our best in our own strength to try and pursue this double blessing. Amen. And you know, the more we do that, the less it's going to happen. Because then it's not about His image anymore. It's about us. And friends, it's so simple. It's just to repent and to return. First of all, why? Because He's the stronghold. He's amazing. He's our fortress, our deliverer, our healer. He's everything. That Psalm 18 verse 2 is only a few of the things of who God is. But study who God is in your life. Get to know who God is and you'll want to come back to Him. Amen. And then, you know, the more we know God, the more we'll encourage others to return to God. We'll encourage others to come to this incredible stronghold, this incredible, beautiful God who He is. But this morning, I believe God is calling us just to repent and to return. And to lay hold of the hope. And maybe this morning you've forgotten the hope of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Maybe you've forgotten that. Maybe you've lost that hope. I want to say, come back to God and that hope will be restored. Come back to God and let Him be the anchor of your soul. Let him well up in you a new hope again for His kingdom, for what He has done in the past, for what He's busy doing, and for what He's going to do. So Father, I just want to thank You this morning, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for each one of us that is here this morning, that You are calling back to return to You. You're calling us to return and to repent of our own ways. To repent of self, Lord, because we do not want to portray ourselves to the world. Lord, we want to portray You, Jesus. Thank You that repentance is a beautiful thing, Lord. It's a thing of turning away just from the I, me, and myself. Turning away from the selfish way of life and looking to You, Lord. And I pray today that all of us would do it. And Your promise is that today I will restore to You my image right there in you. God's promise is that today He says I will restore double to you. And I believe maybe there's people here this morning, you need to have God's image restored in you just by saying, God, here's my life again. Be not only my Savior, but be Lord of my life. I give You my life again. I return to You. I repent of my old ways. I give You my life. Maybe there's someone today, for the first time, you need to just come back to Jesus. Or come to Jesus for the first time. Maybe there's someone here that needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I just want to give you an opportunity to let the Lord, by His Spirit, restore hope in your life. And that you'll be a prisoner of hope, that you'll never let go of that hope, that you'll be captive not by your own sin, you'll be captive not by your circumstances, you'll be captive not by the stuff around you, but you'll be captive by the hope of the gospel, the hope of Jesus Christ, the hope of eternal glory with Him. So I want you to just raise your hand right now. As the band just plays now in the background now, we're going to just spend time in the Lord's presence. Is there anyone that you need to come back to the Lord this morning? Just where you are, just sit there. Let me just say, seated, and just raise your hand. Maybe you need to be filled with the Spirit of God again, the Spirit of hope. Well, it's not about you, it's about Jesus. You need to return back to the Lord this morning. Is there anyone you need to return to the Lord? You want the double blessing restored to you, but you know your job is just to return and to have that hope restored in your life. Is there anyone? Thank you for your honesty here this morning. If the Lord is speaking to you, just come back to Him in any way. Just come forward. I'd like you to come forward right now. If you've raised your hand, or maybe you're just too shy to raise your hand, I want you to come forward and just kneel here. Right here in front, as a symbol of saying, God, I want to come back to you. I want to lay aside my old life. And just come. If the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you, we want to pray for you. I'd love to pray for you if the Lord is calling you to return. I want to say His promises that He will restore double to you. In Jesus' name. Just be obedient. If the Lord is calling you, just come forward. We'd love to pray for you. If you guys can just minister a song to us, then we're done and we can have some fellowship afterwards. If the Lord is speaking, you just come and do business with Him this morning. Come. If you need hope restored, if you need deliverance, if you need salvation, just come. If you need someone to agree with you, just whether you're struggling in your life or there's someone in your life that struggles, you want to stand in faith for, then come and let's pray. Ask the Lord to restore double to those people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence here this morning.